The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, International Bible teacher Beth Moore explains how sometimes we refuse to do what healing requires.
We all need all manner of healing. So much healing of heart, so much healing of mind, healing of relationships, healing to come to all manner of brokenness in our lives. But how often do we want to say to Him, this is not how I want it to come?
Join us as we spend Wednesdays in the Word next.
Thank you very much. We welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have Wednesdays in the Word, and Beth Moore's teaching Claiming Naaman. I think you're going to find that she makes points every time she teaches that apply to us. It's one thing, you know, Betty, to talk about something, teach about something, even preach about something and never really apply it. Well, Beth applies it effectively, and she uses illustrations that really bring it to life, not only in the biblical setting, but in our setting where we are. So would you welcome Beth Moore? Here she is.
Second Kings chapter 5, verse 1, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. That ought to mean something to you by now. It means something to me. And in high favor, words in Hebrew that means to lift up his face, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but would you please tell me what he was? He was a leper. So what we have established in our present series that we're right in the middle of is this, in case you're jumping in with us. We are all connecting with that two-part sentence, because there are some things really going well in our lives that we have to bring to the mix, and then there are some other things, that second half of the sentence of our biography, that we have to own up to all manner of infirmity, malady, that which makes us think, if I could just get rid of this one thing, this big thing, I could be so proud of myself. And we're seeing what God will do when we just bring Him our weakness, that He cannot work with our pride, but He can indeed work with our weakness. He can indeed work with our infirmity. And I want you to see that with me in the Scriptures today. So we got to the place where he now has been told that he is to go to the man of God, the prophet Elisha. Jump down the page with me and hit at about, I'm going to say verse 8, and I'm going to read to verse 14. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, remember, he'd first gone to the king, misunderstanding who was going to be the vessel God was going to use for his cleansing and his healing. He thought, it's got to be the king. Kings thought that other kings were the only ones that had that kind of authority. No, it was the prophet Elisha. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me now, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. But his servant came near to him and said, my father, it's a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? And so we're going to see that he went down, and we're going to see what happens in just a little while. Back up to the first part of the passage, because what happens here to me is so incredibly intriguing, because he is sent. Now, this is an important man, the commander of the king of Syria's army. And so he goes, he's got all, we've already seen in our previous series, he's got all these shekels, he's got all these changes of clothes. He is prepared to pay in big ways for what they're going to do, for make a trade here. He goes, and it says that he goes to his house. Naaman, in verse 9, came with his horses and chariots. So, I mean, this is a parade. Pulling up to Elisha, the man of God's house. And Elisha sent a messenger. Is anybody tracking with me here? Yeah. I mean, how embarrassing is this? He doesn't come to the door. He sends a messenger to him, and he says through the messenger, now this is what you're supposed to do. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. And I mean, Naaman was absolutely furious. Why would he leave me standing at this door? Am I not more important than this? And you see, it's such interesting verbiage here that is used, because he says, and I love verse 11. It may be my very favorite part of it when it says, but Naaman was angry and went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God. This is the best part. And wave his hand. Wave his hand all over the place and cure the leper. He wanted some pomp and circumstance. He wanted some action. He wanted him to use his hands. He wanted it to be dramatic, because he was dramatic. He wanted to see something that all of them would remember forever. Instead, it's like, go over to the Jordan, which they would consider to be muddy waters. Go over to the Jordan and just dip in it 7 times and you'll be good to go. I mean, he is beside himself and turns to walk away. And I wonder who can relate to what I'm about to say. Has anybody ever felt like this? I just want you to picture this like it was on a board over my head. This is not the way I want my healing. I don't know what you're going to do with me, Lord. We all need all manner of healing. So much healing of heart, so much healing of mind, healing of relationships, healing to come to all manner of brokenness in our lives. But how often do we want to say to him, this is not how I want it to come. And I refuse to heal like this. And I wonder if one reason why we stay on this side of that act of wholeness that God is more than willing to do in our lives is because we don't like the package that's going to come in. That is not how it's going to be. We've made 3 points together so far in the first half of our series. I want to, in hopes that someone's joining us, I want to repeat to you what they are. Number one, we saw that greatness, he's a great man to his master, Naaman is. Greatness finds its sole validity in the eyes of the master. Two, our lives all feel like squirming concoctions of misfit parts. That's what he felt misfit because of his infirmity. Three, we really can become great men and women of valor. And that brings us to number 4 as we climb into this portion of the chapter, and this is it. Sometimes we refuse to do what healing requires. Sometimes we refuse to do what healing requires. This I know based on the Word of God. There is no doubt at all in Scripture. God wants to and is fully willing and able to heal your heart, to heal your mind, and if both parties are willing, to heal all manner of relationship. Now, we don't always know what he's doing in an area of physical healing. God very much heals in our day. But he has also got another agenda going, in that he is after the work of the Spirit through the work of the heart. And so we don't always know exactly how he's going to respond long term there. But you can well know in the Scripture, anytime you need it, if you're willing to do what it takes, you can have a heart that is healed. You can have a mind that is healed. You can have all sorts of relationships that are made whole. You can be made clean, but will you, will I do what it takes? Look at one another and say, are you doing what it takes? Are you doing what it, I mean, that is a confrontational kind of question. He became, I wonder if anybody else can relate to this because I'm all over this one. I'm claiming Naaman on this one. He became the obstacle to his own healing. Anybody? Anybody decided, like, I'm too old for this now? I mean, this is going to be the way it's going to be. My mind's going to stay in this state. My heart's going to stay in this state because, you know what, I'm just, like, over it now. Somebody else is just going, like, I'm not going to go to that much trouble. And one reason why we don't do what it would take is because, like it seems right here, it just seems ridiculous. It's beneath us. We want an epiphany healing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? An epiphany. We want something to happen in our lives that people could write about. Am I telling the truth? I mean, we want it to be big. We've got self-importance, indispensability involved here. We are too sophisticated and too smart to heal. Is this getting into anybody's business? Anybody just too sophisticated to heal, too good for crude means. I want to tell you a story about one of my coworkers back at Living Proof. Her name is Evangeline, and I am absolutely nuts about her. She is from New Orleans. She was my prize out of the disaster Katrina. It caused her to move into the Houston area, and we got her at Living Proof. And you talk about a mighty woman of valor. The woman has got the spirit on her. She can pray the heavens down all over you. She comes from a family of 9 natural born, all from the same 2 parents, 9 brothers and sisters. These are 2 parents who had 10 kids. So I just want you to picture this large, large generation after generation Catholic family. I understand so much of that. My husband's family, that is their background, his parents. So I get her in so many ways. And so this was her background, steeped in it, went to Catholic schools. This is what they knew. When she was 5 years old, she was hit by a motorcycle and dragged by it. Like 100 feet. I'm not sure exactly the distance, but you can imagine the injuries. I mean, they thought it had killed her. And what happened out of that is that she hit her head so violently, it caused, from that very early age, it caused Evangeline to have all manner of seizure. She had all sorts of learning disabilities and difficulties. She had a lot of trouble with her reading and writing, and they tried everything. These are loving, loving parents, a good, loving family. And I mean, they just did whatever they could do. Doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor. And they were with her, you know, in her homework, after school, just getting her tutoring, whatever they could do to just help her understand what she was reading and writing. This is a brilliant person. But I had truly put disabilities upon her that she had not been born with. And so they were just at their wits' end because she was suffering from it. She was suffering in school. Any of you that have been in that kind of situation where you looked around you and you felt like you could not keep up with everyone, a darling, darling young woman, just, it was very, very hard for her. And you can imagine how her mother felt. I mean, listen, your mother not only feels it for you, but I mean, with you in there and just grieving over anything that affects you. And so this was the case. So years pass, and she at this point is a 20-year-old, and they've just been with her all along, loved her so much, tried everything, and she's coming along, graduated from high school, but is doing everything the hard way. And so she's gone now 15 solid years, and it's been great difficulty. And her mother comes to her, this good Catholic mom, and says to her, well, there is a man coming to town. And some people say that he can heal. And she said this to her, I love this, what do we have to lose? She said, why not? So Evangeline was like, let's go. Let's go. And so they went. They went. And there was a lot of hand waving and all. And but nothing completely dramatic happened to Evangeline there, except that, somebody stay with me here, faith was born that day. And over time, it's the oddest thing, because she looks back at it now and she says, you know, I did not get a dramatic day and night. Boom, it was over. All had been restored. But she said, I had the beginning to my healing that day. She said, I began having breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Listen to me carefully, because her family did not even believe in that. And it is what God used. Now listen, that's why I'm hoping somebody's going to hang with me for 5 more minutes here so that I make this really clear. If you just heard from me that the way you need to get your healing is that you need to go to a faith healing service of some kind, then you misunderstood me. What I am saying today is do what God tells you to do. As long as it is congruent with the scriptures, he will never work contrary to his word. But what I am telling you is this, for many of us, we are too prejudiced to heal because we already have we have already decided how healing can look and how it's not going to look, how we will receive our healing and how we are not going to receive our healing. And we decide we are too good for that kind of healing. What if we got over our prejudices? And because that is exactly what is in play with Naaman. He's going, if I'm going to dip in a river, I promise you, it's going to be my own river. It's not going to be your rivers. I'll go dip in my own rivers. What is that prejudice? We're better than you. I don't even believe in that. I'm not doing it because it just seems absolutely ridiculous. What if to a Pentecostal, they didn't want to take a sound word from a Presbyterian? What if God had placed upon a Presbyterian woman's heart what she believed God was really saying about a journey to that woman's healing or that man's healing? But no, I'm a Pentecostal. I'm not taking a word from a Presbyterian. And here we go, because we got all our camps. And God forbid that they would ever blend in together. It's a beautiful thing about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on Life Today is it all blends together. All blends together. What if we got over all of our denominational prejudices, we set them down and just said to Jesus, how do you want this thing to come down?
Oh boy, Beth, you're touching on sacred cows, on people's little zone that they call their little tribal situation. Too often it's something covered that hides the light. I think you've made your points well. I think all of you know. I hope you got it. Because God wants to speak to us through different people. Different parts of his body have something to communicate to the rest of the body. Sometimes this part will tell the whole body something's wrong. And this part didn't necessarily feel it. But it needed to hear it from this part because we needed this one to take care of it. Maybe you're bleeding. We really need one another far more than we have ever realized. And a house divided doesn't stand, the body of Christ divided, people not talking, marriages don't make it. By the way, you know, we've just celebrated 51 years. How do we keep doing this? I mean, you know, you were the Miss Church Lady and we were Baptists and suddenly we got stretched to just talk to everybody and love everybody and listen to everybody. It's comfortable, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, and part of it is first our commitment to the Lord, you know, and then being determined to communicate with each other and work through those rough roads at time. And now we have more of the smooth road, don't we?
Well, we do. And I think I'm seeing the church have more of a smooth road by doing what Beth's talked about. And that's where you're willing to hear someone outside your own immediate circle. Let me show you something that you, our viewers, have inspired us because of your love to continually look for ways that we can reach out and bring light into the darkest places on the planet. And I think this is one of the darkest places you'll ever see, where the light will be as appreciated as any place it'll ever be shared. Watch very closely.
There are a lot of things I dreamt I'd become. This was never one of them. but it's who I am now. They tell me I deserve it. They say my parents never want to see me again. I'm never alone here for long, but alone is all I feel. I can't keep them out because my door locks from the outside. I hear they've got my sister now. She's about the age they took me. She'll fetch a good price, like I did. Of course, they say we're worthless anyway. There's no reason to smile here, but I'm forced to. I hate this place, but it's like we were meant for each other. Filth for filth. If I was worth anything at all, surely someone would have come for me. And though I'm all alone, I know there are many. I've seen too many come and disappear. Maybe they're the lucky ones.
Oh boy, somebody did come. His name was Jesus, and he died for every one of those girls. But Betty, for them to know that God cares and that he reaches out to them, we have to be the expression of it.
Yeah, and two things she said that really caught my heart. And she said, this is who I am, and I must not be worth anything. That's not who you are, precious children. You are the beautiful creation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in that situation not because you chose it to be, but you are worth our son, the Lord's son, Jesus. He gave his life for you, and I want you to know that. And I want us as Christians, James, to have the compassion and the love and the desire to reach out to these precious children that don't know they're worth anything. But we want to show them hope. We want to give them safety. They deserve it. They didn't choose this. So I hope you will help us. I hope your heart's been touched by what you just watched.
And really and truly, that's the reason we're doing what we're doing. First of all, the missionaries and relief workers found them. They were sent by God, like messengers of God's love. And they found out in us, in life today, a source of love that says we want to help you. And the reason that they know that is because of you. You see, Betty and I could care like the missionaries, very deeply, but we would be so limited in what we can do. But together we can literally, as the body of Christ, put God's arms around a hurting person like those girls. And we can, with your help, rescue them. The missionaries have told us, and this has proven true over the years, to support the outreach, to rescue them, to restore them, to begin to give them a new future, to have a place to take care of them, it costs an average of $128. Is that amazing? That's what it takes to set someone free. We've got caring friends like you who contacted us and said, we so believe in what you're doing that we will match what's given to rescue those precious girls and sometimes boys that are being held captive. $128 will be doubled. Where you help one by making that gift, it'll now be two. Or if you say, you know, James, I actually couldn't do the $128 gift, but I could give $64. Well, we've rescued another one because someone has matched your gift. So would you dial the number this last week, now of the emphasis, and say, yes, we'll be the answer to that girl's cry. We'll show them that somebody does care. God cares, and he cares through us. Would you take your bank card, use it like a check, or go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Then remember this. We must build a safe house in Cambodia. The situation has reached a state there that we've got to have a place for them to stay, to come, to get them out. Not just a place to transition, but we need a safe house. To build it here, it costs $2 million. There, right at $350,000. 350 people given $1,000 and we would have it. Thank God there have been some who've been doing that. This last week, let's finish that out. Would you please? We have a beautiful, beautiful glass sculpture to send you. It's called The Blessing. We want to say thank you for being a blessing. And then the other gifts that we have are to help you grow spiritually in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Thank you so much for making the call. Thank you for going online. Please do it now. Do it prayerfully and compassionately. And I thank you.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the safe house in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Betty and I say thank you for what you're doing and to help us, and knowing that your gift will be doubled, it's a tremendous blessing. This is the last week, and Rescue Life for this time of emphasis. Please do all you can, and I want to remind you about The Blessing, the beautiful glass sculpture and art piece. I'm encouraging you to help us build that safe house. We need right at $350,000, and if you could give $1,000 or more toward it, sure would mean a lot. But we do thank you for giving us this opportunity of sharing, and I know you've enjoyed, Beth. Encourage your friends to watch Life Today. Tell them about it. And thanks to all of you for being here with us.
Tomorrow on Life Today, founder of Passion Conferences, Louis Giglio, inspires young people to know Jesus and live for His glory. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.